Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and all the other things, like my blog. You can subscribe to it, too. And those of you who have been using the blog, thank you for that. That's very exciting. We hoped you would like it, and it looks like you do. And don't forget, the newsletter is free. It comes once a week. You can subscribe to that. And also all the other things that are there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including a little bit on family businesses. But we're going to add to that little treasure trove of family business resources that we have on our site. But today with the visit with our new friend, Dr. Thomas Davidow, and he's the founder of the Thomas D. Davidow & Associates. He's spent 20 years or more working in the field of family business consulting, working with family businesses out there to help them to have them more of an opportunity to be successful. And he's our new friend. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger. Nice to be with you.
It's Jim. Roger, I'm the good looking
one. Oh, I'm
Roger.
Sorry.
No,
gosh.
Okay.
Roger called.
We get confused
Thank
a lot.
You, Jim.
I'm just Roger's not the good looking one. He's just
okay.
the guy who can pull the plug on us every once in a while. Hey,
okay.
Tom, what do we need to know about? Tell us about how many family businesses are there in America?
Well, I can tell you that between 80 and 85% of all businesses in this country are either family-owned or family-controlled, and one-third of the Fortune 500 are family-owned and family-controlled. And in addition to that, they make up about 60 to 65% of the gross national product. About 75 to 80% of all jobs come out of family businesses. They really do have a powerful, powerful role in our economy.
And family businesses, you know, typically when we think of family businesses, we think of small businesses. And I'm sure 99% of all small businesses are. I mean, 99% of all businesses are not that are not not publicly traded are family businesses. But the some family businesses are larger, aren't they?
Yes, they range in size. You know, they go all the way from. Like you said, the mom and pop, you know, all the way up to billions and billions of dollars in terms of size.
And they've never been publicly traded yet, or you know,
that's right. Many of them are privately held and privately controlled, and they remain family businesses. And that's right, not publicly traded.
Well, you know, I was thinking of a couple of publishing firms that we know here. In our organization, the Forbes organization, also the Kiplinger organization. These are family businesses.
Yes, absolutely.
They're both pretty significant organizations. But then, as you say, we come down to you know, mom and pop. Pop's the salesperson and in charge of, you know, buying and selling, and mom is in charge of the organization and keeping the books, or vice versa. But either way, it's a magical thing that makes the world go round, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it really goes all the way back to the whole concept of farms. When we first settled in this country and farmers tilled the land, you know, the roles of the father were very, very clear. The roles of the mother were very, very clear. And the economic units were built and the labor was determined by the number of children you had.
Right.
You take that concept of just pulling together and being together as a family, which is kind of magical, and it feels really good. And when families today start their businesses really have a very, very powerful impact on that family. And there's a tremendous amount of sense of pride and identity that comes from that family and that family business.
When you talk, Tom, about you know, going all the way back, that was a nice trip down memory lane.
Yes.
We're in 2006. Things are different. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. What are family businesses like today?
What are they like today? Well, what's interesting is that the businesses are different, and they're in every single industry, and that, like I said before, they're all different sizes. What's the same is the family and the family dynamics. It does not matter what size the business is. If you have a mother and a father and some children in there, the issues and the dynamics between and amongst the family members are going to be essentially the same. So that's what makes it interesting. Given my background, that's where I enter the system, mm-hmm. as dealing with the family and the struggles that families can have.
Now, wait a minute. Family businesses and struggles.
Yes.
If you're not a family business, folks, if you don't know anything about family business, you might say, well, you know, what are those struggles? Well, think about your own family not in business. Mm-hmm. Think about all the challenges that a family has not being in business. Then mm-hmm. add the complexity and the extra opportunity for challenges that any business that is non-family has. And now you can either have something that's beautiful, I've seen it that way, or you can have something that's a can of worms. I've seen it that way too, and I'm sure you have too, Tom.
Exactly. Exactly.
So what do you do when you get a phone call?
Mm-hmm.
Are they calling you because they want to talk about how wonderful things are, or are they saying, we've got some pain, we need help?
Pain is the operative word. They call me because just as you said, you have family dynamics and family issues, which are complicated enough, and you have business issues, which are very complicated. You put the two of them together, and the amount of stress involved can be really difficult, and you can sometimes the overlap between the two systems, the families have a hard time deciding whether or not they're making a business decision or whether or not they're making a family decision. Just a simple example of compensation for the next generation. You know, are you going to be, and you have more than one child in there, adult child in there, are you going to be paying them the same? You're going to pay them different? If one of them all of a sudden has a baby, are you going to increase their salary, et cetera, et cetera? What happens when they call me is that they are usually, almost always, very interested in making sure the business goes from one generation to the next. And when you pass that business down from one generation to the next, all the issues that exist in the family and all the issues that exist in the business start bubbling to the surface, becomes very difficult. And in order to ensure and try to deal with their concerns, that's when they call.
Well, and the ability to make those decisions, those primogenitor decisions or non-primogenitor decisions.
Well, we don't believe in primogenitor.
I know. Well, I know you don't believe in it, but it happens sometimes.
It happens a lot.
Therein lies the problem. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our new friend, Tom Davidow. And he is a family business expert, and I'm not, but I've seen a lot of them, and we're going to continue our visit right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We're back at 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and our guest, Dr. Thomas Davidow, received his Doctor of Education from Boston University. And he founded Genus Resources, which is a firm, became a leader in the field of family business consultation. And his company now is called Thomas D. Davidow and Associates. He works all the time with family businesses, and that's what we've been talking about. Tom, we talked about, I used the word primogeniture. You said we don't like that, but mm-hmm. just because you don't like it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Obviously, I'm talking about that's where the oldest son is the heir apparent, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And that is still alive and well in the marketplace, but sometimes oldest sons are not necessarily oldest sons. The child that everybody believes will take the helm, sometimes they disappoint, or the relationship disappoints, or it's just not happening. Do you get a lot of those kinds of phone calls?
Yeah, yes, I do. Parents get their expectations on the firstborn are just enormous, and sometimes people can rise to the occasion, and sometimes they can't. And when the expectations are there, it can be very, very difficult to measure up, and it can be a constant set of disappointments. But in that case, that it, what when you're making a business decision as to who's going to run the business in the next generation, you really want to base it on competency. If somebody's in a position where they underneath they really don't feel competent, they're not going to be happy anyway. So, yes, I do run into that.
You find it hard for people. Are you finding people who are having difficulty dealing with telling a person that they're just not going to be able to want to take the company to the finish line?
Well, that's right. Not only do I find it hard for them to tell them, I find it hard for them to acknowledge it. You know, there can be a tremendous amount of denial on both sides, and even though underneath it all, everybody knows.
And you become the bad guy.
Well, I don't become the bad guy. I become the person to relieve the pressure when there's an expectation like that and it's not working. The tremendous amount of pressure on both sides. So my job is to be able to have them hear that they're going to both be better off if you make a decision that's going to be best for everybody and not
How
good.
How many times have you come into a situation, Tom, where everything was headed down this one road?
Mm-hmm.
You knew it was too fast down a one way road.
Yeah.
They didn't know it.
Yeah.
They resisted. Everybody resisted. You had to really work hard to show them that they had a bad plan here.
Yeah.
But then once everybody got on board, it was like this great relief.
Yes.
Is that what happened?
Yes, that's exactly what happens. The stress just starts to eke out of the system. And the interesting part is that all that energy and all that focus that went on that relationship, once the stress is released, all that energy can be poured into the business, and all that focus gets poured into the business, and the business just takes off. I mean,
The thing that happened
mm-hmm.
is that people started telling each other the truth. Is that right?
Yes. That's right. They become comfortable with the truth. And you know what? You become comfortable with the truth. You say the things out loud that if you're most terrified of saying, and then the walls around you don't fall, and things don't, and you wake up the next morning and the sun still comes up, and that's what happens. People are afraid to talk about what's the elephant in the room, as it were, but to take the courage. And that's what happens. I just want to say that families who struggle like this, when they call, they have enormous courage. I think they have courage to face the truth and deal with the truth, because when you're dealing with your family and you're dealing with your business, you're dealing with everything.
And when they call you, they're admitting something by making the phone call, and they know they got a problem, but they don't know. It might be something that they're so frightened of it.
Yes.
In their mind, this might even take us down.
Well, yeah, they're so worried about getting the business going down that they're willing to make the phone call. I mean, I think it's so hard for people to reach out and say, I need help. And for these guys and for these women who have founded businesses who are extraordinarily competent and extraordinarily capable and very bright, and it's a mystery to them why they can't solve this problem. Mm-hmm. They've solved every other problem, and this problem don't go away. And for people whose self-esteem is wrapped up in being able to solve problems, turn around and say, you know what, I need help. I mean, that's just an act of courage and an act of strength.
And you know, even consultants like you and like I used to be, when I was trying to fix my own business, I needed help from somebody else. You probably have had that too. We get too close, and I think that's the big thing we need to just admit, folks. We're too close to this. This is a decision I can't make by myself. I need help, and that's the reason why, folks, I like to introduce you to people like Tom David. Tom, give us your website, please.
It's www.tdavidow.com.
And that's DAVIDOW.
Correct.
TDavidHour.com. I encourage you to check the website out. I'm sure you got some stuff there that people can read and
there's some articles there and
businesses.
Yes.
Yeah, all that stuff. Tom, will you come back another day? We got a lot more to talk about.
I'd absolutely be happy to, Jim. Really, I would.
Well, we'll do that, because I want you to come back and let's take some. Maybe we'll get a little more specific. We'll take some. You may even have a case study or so that we can...
Exactly. We can take some situations and talk about that.
Let's do that. Folks, we're going to do that. You can look forward to that in the weeks ahead. Tom, thank you for being here. Look forward to next time.
Thank you very much. Be well.
Tom David, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. That's Dr. Tom David, by the way. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm not a doctor, but I'll be back right after these messages with our good friend, Andrew Sherman. Stay with us.
One fine day, you're going to want me for your...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.